cuando compras en JCPenney los outfits del verano con tu cupón de 20% extra, no solo te estás preparando para las fiestas y el verano, te estás preparando para lucir super top toda la temporada con 20% extra en tu bolsillo. La prueba está en el recibo. Sí, es JCPenney. Cupón válido hasta el 22 de junio en selección de estilos. Aplican algunas exclusiones. Detalles en la tienda o jcp.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save this 4th of July. Upgrade your laundry routine with a new and exclusive first-of-its-kind all-in-one vented laundry combo. Wash and dry in just 68 minutes. Save up to 40% on select major appliances. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Shop Samsung this July 4th at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. It's Game Time Decisions right here on Sports Grid. I'm your host, Kevin Walsh. It's a Monday night. We've got a lot to go through. Doubleheader tonight, Monday Night Football. As we just discussed here, NFC South matchup starts this off. 3-point favorite for the Saints on the road against the Carolina Panthers. Total 39.5. AFC North matchup there. Game starts about an hour later. Steelers-Browns, another home dog here for Pittsburgh. 2.5-point line. Total moving a little bit between 38.5 and 39.5, which means you're in for a great night on Sports Grid. In-game Live is going to have you covered with both Joe Ranieri and Dave Sharapan. They'll join us a little bit later on in this hour to get their thoughts heading into those games. And then Sports Rage late at night will get you covered for maybe the final moments of Saints-Panthers and for most of Steelers-Browns the second half of that game. So packed, busy night here, and we'll give you some in-game looks on Saints-Panthers as it comes on, just to give you the plays again for me in that game. Panthers plus the 3, Jamal Williams over 57.5 rush yards, as well as the Bryce Young over 10.5 rushing yards. Did play a Michael Thomas 48.5 because someone reached out to me about it, so I thought we had to get involved with that number. Let's talk a little Major League Baseball, though, to make sure you get your feel, your fill, and to make sure that you're locked in on this slate. I did bet a Major League game. Should have mentioned this in hour one. Look, we're busy here. But you can get a much better number than what I bet if you still want to get involved. I bet a Reds-Twins over 9.5. Right now, we're scoreless at the start of the bottom of the second here. That total dipped down to 7.5. Joe Ryan struggled on the road. And really, it's been a bad, bad start. I know it's two starts, but it's been bad from Connor Phillips, a guy that I've been talking to Donnie Wrightside about. He's said to fade. So I thought that 9.5 number had some juice. We're early into that game. If you want to get involved, let's get involved with the radio audience here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. You are watching. You are listening to Game Time Decisions. I'm your host, Kevin Walsh. What else does this baseball board bring us tonight? It brings us a Chicago White Sox team favored on the road against the Washington Nationals. They are pitching advantage, though, with Clevinger getting the ball against Adon. Atlanta is a home dog against the Philadelphia Phillies. It's been a tough season for Kyle Wright. Zach Wheeler has the ball for Philadelphia. If I were betting this game, I'm betting a home dog price on the Atlanta Braves. But again, I'm not involved in that game just yet. I am involved in Cardinals Brewers. Total for this game is 8.5. Milwaukee with Freddy Peralta on the mound. They're the favorite. That number minus 184. If I told you I'm involved in this game, you've been watching the show, you go, oh, here we go again. Brewers team total. Brewers RBI props. Last time we did that, faded Adam Wainwright. Baltimore Orioles batted 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Left us waiting. We're not fading Wainwright. He's actually, okay, he's still been terrible at home, but I prefer to fade him on the road. Freddy Peralta, though, has struggled on the road this season relative to what we've seen from his starts in Milwaukee. Compare that ERA above a 4 on the road. We've got a little bit of good hitter-pitcher history here on the two big boppers. Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado are both batting lifetime above 380 against Peralta, both with 20-plus at-bats, combined for 6 home runs and 17 RBIs. And the team total tonight on St. Louis, it checks in, actually, at a 3.5 at plus money. I didn't see a flat 3. If you see a flat 3, you love a flat 3. But a 3.5 at plus money was worth it. I thought about the 2-plus RBIs, something we did break out, and it worked great on Friday with that Toronto Blue Jays team. A 3-run homer for Vladdy Jr. put us in the green. That was the only runs of that baseball game, so we would have lost on a team total. We would have lost on, you know, straight RBI wagers. So taking it up to 2-plus worked out. If I was going to isolate this, I would isolate it to Nolan Arenado. With 4 career home runs and Goldschmidt batting in front of him, you could absolutely convince me that Arenado's RBI is the play, Arenado 2-plus is the play. But I do prefer to kind of play those a bit beefier, and that's why I'm kind of leaving that number alone right now. Rangers, Red Sox, Texas, nearly a minus 180 favorite. Total in that game, 8.5. Jordan Montgomery's got the ball against Cutter Crawford. Would lean towards the under in that baseball game right now. The 8.5s are juice if you could find a 9. Astros, Orioles, Means rocked in his first start back. He goes now to Houston to go up against Justin Verlander and the Astros. Total in that game is a 9. Padres, Rockies. So this is a target game for me, but I need the lineup from San Diego to drop here for me to feel a little bit more comfortable about firing against the Rockies in this spot. It's come out, and I don't think it's going to be good enough. I don't think it's going to match criteria here for me to get involved on the Padres. The team total is going to be expensive. Look at how expensive their money line is, minus 275. Still incredible to me that team just couldn't pull anything together. Athletics, Mariners, Seattle road favorite, Tigers, Dodgers. Listen, so as you guys know, I do like to get involved when the home road splits match up. Eduardo Rodriguez has not been bad on the road, but my goodness, the top of the lineup here, the back of the lineup here, it's all great against him. You could sell me on some RBI shots in this game. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman specifically would line up if you want to just go out there and get involved tonight with that Dodgers team, which does always have some validation. Let's get a quick pick in here as we open up the hour. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about this weekend, some of the movement that we saw. I still think it's important here on a Monday to recap that, but to get you a little more action on this slate here between the Steelers and the Browns, love a pass attempt prop here from Deshaun Watson. That number 27.5. We found out Amari Cooper's going to play in this game, which should give this team only more confidence to throw the football here against the Steelers. 29 pass attempts for Brock Purdy last week in a blowout victory against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also 29 pass attempts last week from Deshaun Watson in a blowout victory for the Cleveland Browns. Watson's gone over this number in 5 of his last 6 games dating back to last season. It's 5 of 7 in his Browns career. He didn't hit in his very first game back in an easy win over the Houston Texans. This game tonight has a tight line of 2.5. I still think Watson will throw more, far more, in fact, than this number suggests of 27.5. I think Watson's passing prop looks low in this football game in terms of yardage as well. I think that's a tempting number. And really, as we talk about this game, and I'm interested to see what Joe Lisi and the in-game live guys think about this, I'm on the over. I have a restricted card for that game because everything looks light to me. And that's kind of when I knew that my play in that game was the over. Bet it at 38.5. It's on the move.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Let me get you the most recent numbers right now in terms of that total here. Are the 39.5s becoming a little more frequent? There's still that loose 38.5 out there if you do want to try and get involved. But I expect scoring tonight here in the AFC North game between the Steelers and the Browns. But speaking of the AFC North, the biggest result of week two, the biggest story potentially heading into week three, the AFC runner-up Cincinnati Bengals being in some trouble. Talk about that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here. It's Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh. We've gone through so far the first Monday night game, which is about to kick off. We will go through the second Monday night game as this show goes on. I do want to set up some of the market movement from the weekend, but to get you a little more juice on game number two, let's go to Davis Maddock with the same game parlay.
All right, folks, we are back for another same game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the National Football League. I love when they do these Monday Night Football doubleheaders. We've got Saints-Panthers, we've got Browns-Steelers. Our same game parlay is going to be for Browns-Steelers. Very low total in this game. The market not expecting very many offensive fireworks. I feel pretty good about taking the Browns on the road. We are going to begin our same game parlay by taking the Cleveland Browns minus 2.5 points on the FanDuel Sportsbook as the first leg of our same game parlay. Kenny Pickett was so bad in week one, not really buying that there's going to be a big leap in his developmental curve. The Browns didn't look particularly good against the Bengals, but I think they are going to be effective running the ball, which is going to lead into the second leg of our same game parlay. Nick Chubb, anytime touchdown. If you are thinking the Browns are going to win the game, you're definitely thinking Nick Chubb is going to score a touchdown. He only gave up carries once the fourth quarter started in week one to Jerome Ford. No other running back got a touch in that game. Feeling pretty good about Chubb. And then with Amari Cooper banged up in this game, I'm betting on a big performance from Elijah Moore, who they traded for in the offseason from the New York Jets. We are taking the over on 42.5 receiving yards for Moore. I think you can ladder that up all the way to 60 or 65 yards. That's probably going to be one of my biggest positions, is Elijah Moore overs in this game. That gives us a same game parlay on the FanDuel Sportsbook of plus 503 odds. Browns minus 2.5, Nick Chubb anytime touchdown, and Elijah Moore over 42.5 yards. Good luck tonight, everybody.
Great stuff, as always, from Davis, setting you guys up there for a same-game parlay. I popped in an SGP of my own in that game. It's the over 250 yards for Watson and 70 or 80 yards for Najee Harris. So if you guys want a little more. But there's an item in his same-game parlay that's very important. It's Browns' money line. If the Browns win this game, the fall for the Cincinnati Bengals will continue. The fall's already started. Win total was 11.5, down to 9.5. They've lost each of their first two games, both games booked as a favorite. Their AFC North odds, look at these, from plus 150 to plus 550. Third choice on the board. With a win for Cleveland, this number drops. But quite honestly, with a win for Pittsburgh, it probably does as well. The Bengals have a chance to be the team booked for fourth in this division. After 2 weeks of football, when they opened up as the favorite, they might be booked as, again, the fourth spot. AFC championship odds still underneath 10-1. 10-1 is where the Cleveland price sits. A Browns win will push Cincinnati out of the top five in the AFC, and of course, it's moved their Super Bowl odds back from 10-1 to 18-1. There's a number I skipped over. I skipped over it for a reason. We'll focus in on it in a minute. But I'm sure there are some people who see these numbers move back and think to themselves, whoa, Cincinnati last year started 0-2, made the AFC title game, had a great chance to make the Super Bowl. Year before that, they were in the Super Bowl, had a great chance to win that game. Last year's 0-2 is not this year's 0-2. Because last year's 0-2 did not involve Joe Burrow being this injured. I know he had the appendix surgery, okay? Joe Burrow had a calf issue. Joe Burrow threw for 300 yards in a fluky week one loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. Joe Burrow threw for 82 yards in a disaster loss to the Cleveland Browns in week one. The Cincinnati Bengals couldn't do anything in the first half of the game against the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, they woke up a little bit, and then by the end of the game, Joe Burrow left hobbled and is now questionable for a Monday night game at home against the LA Rams. This team could be 0-3. We don't know how much time could potentially be missed for Joe Burrow. This team could be 0-4. This team could be 0-5. I don't know. That sounds like a lot. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But Joe Burrow also might be dealing with this all year long. That's why this 0-2 isn't the same. And it's why the Cincinnati Bengals are staring down the barrel of a disaster season. Look at their odds to make the playoffs. Minus 290 is what it was. Now, minus 118. This team is hardly favored to make the postseason. If the Cincinnati Bengals miss the playoffs, we are talking an outright disaster. Mr. My window's open forever. You can't win a Super Bowl if you're not in the playoffs. If you look right now, who is in front of this team? Let's say Cleveland wins tonight. You'd have three teams that are 2-0, two in their division, including Baltimore, right, with Cleveland and Miami. Then you've got the big dogs, the Bills and the Chiefs. That's five teams that you would project in front of them. The interesting bit is, where does the rest of it come from in the AFC? The Jets might be eliminated without Rodgers. The Chargers are also a disastrous 0-2. Do you believe in the South sending multiple teams outside of their division winner? But again, for Cincinnati, is the goal get there? Is the goal win the whole thing? It's win the whole thing. The AFC, though, as a whole, has not started good enough to fully bury the Bengals, but they might be buried anyway if their quarterback's out. In a complete different fashion, the Miami Dolphins sit 2-0. The Miami Dolphins have seen a number of movement, but movement I just can't get down with, including Tua Tagovailoa's status as league favorite for MVP. Mike McDaniel is the favorite to win Coach of the Year. That I believe in. I do not believe in Tua Tagovailoa winning league MVP. Here's the deal with Tua and the Dolphins. If Tua is going to win MVP, they must win the AFC East. I still don't think that's going to happen. But it's not just the AFC East. They are probably going to need the top spot in the AFC. Certainly one of the top two. Record is a big requirement, and I know the record has started out great at 2-0. To be fair, the two teams that they did beat are currently 0-2, in the Pats and the Chargers. We didn't expect much from New England this year. The Chargers might be the disappointment team of the season. They at least can't say, oh, well, our quarterback was out. But my biggest issue with Tua, and I mentioned the Mike McDaniel thing, McDaniel and Tyreek Hill, I think, are going to get too much credit for Tua to be able to win this award. I don't think people believe Tua is a good enough quarterback to win this award. I don't think Tua is a good enough quarterback to win this award. This isn't about, oh, he's eventually going to be injured. I'm not worried about the injury. It's relevant. I'm not saying it's, but that's not what this is about for me. When you look around right now, though, what I will say for Tua, in terms of 2-0 quarterbacks, it's him, it's Jalen Hurts, it's Lamar Jackson, it's Brock Purdy, it's Baker, it's Ritter. He is off to a really good start. But I don't think the Dolphins are good enough, and that team success matters just as much. So for that, I'm not buying in. By the way, I mentioned Baker and I mentioned Ritter. There has been plenty of movement in terms of some of those teams there with their odds who've been to...
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
No, and the way their postseason odds are starting to move here, Falcons a favorite to make the playoffs all of a sudden. Bucks now underneath 2-1 in terms of making the playoffs there. Chargers plus price to make the playoffs. Tons and tons of movement. No leash is back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, it's Game Time Decisions. I do feel a little bad. We're supposed to get to a whole bunch of other movement within that last segment, and then I went on a 10-minute rant about the Bengals. The Bengals stuff is a big deal. It's a big deal. Let me bring in Joe Lisi, who's going to help us talk now a little bit about this other Monday Night Football game. But, Joe, let me ask you, are you panicked on Cincinnati after the 0-2 start or what?
Oh, it's not a good start. I will say this. If he's a little bit banged up, and I'm talking about Joey Silk, Joe Burrow, what was the rush to bring him back so quickly? We talked about it. If the calf was only 80%, Kev, you have a bigger chance of tearing that calf muscle and losing him for the season. So what was the rush? Mm-hmm. Because it was two divisional games? I mean, I think they made a poor decision. If he's banged up now and he's not going to be 100%, yeah. Then yeah, I have concerns about the Bengals offense. And more importantly, it was T. Higgins that stepped up yesterday, not Ja'Marr Chase. Huge concern in that regard.
Chase is turning into, it's like all receptions, no big plays, which is obviously not what you want out of a Ja'Marr Chase. But if Burrow, the AFC is just so good that that Cleveland team is going to be fighting from underneath. And look, this game here tonight, Joe, could potentially move their odds even more with Cleveland and Pittsburgh here. Are you on a side in this football game here, the back end of the Monday night doubleheader?
I am. I'm on Cleveland. Now, I was on Cleveland at the start of the year. I said it. They were my sleeper, just the way Seattle was in terms of over-exceeding expectations. We talked about it all offseason. I thought they could be a potential 10 or even an 11-win football team, and I love the way the defense played. Now, part of that was due to the inefficiency of Joe Burrow and the offense, but I like this defense right now, and I think this potentially, Kev, this is the game that goes over tonight. The total is set at 39.5. Everybody looking at Kenny Pickett. I'm on Deshaun Watson. I took him early at 199.5 over. It's up to 202.5. I'm also on Elijah Moore and Donovan Peoples-Jones to go over their total tonight.
I love the over in this game, Joe, and it's the only reason I don't have more. Honestly, the reason I don't have more props in this game is I felt like I liked all of them. Everything about this game just feels too adjusted from week one. I still think Watson's going to throw more than people like. I have the over attempts. I have the over in the game. I wanted to bet some maybe of his all passing. I also think Najee Harris tonight, Joe, does well on the ground.
Well, think about Pittsburgh right now. If they can't run the football, they're completely one-dimensional, right? That's what they did last week. Najee Harris, what did he have, 41 yards? They averaged less than 3 yards per carry against San Francisco. They were playing from a deficit all evening, right? So that cannot happen tonight. When the Pittsburgh Steelers are effective and Kenny Pickett's effective, the rushing attack is there. He could work off a play action. So I agree with you. I think Najee Harris should have a huge part of this offense tonight, but that doesn't mean that Pickett might not put it up 25 or 30 times in this ballgame.
I mean, threw the ball 46 times last week. Obviously not the game script that they drew up. They were, you know, playing from behind the entire way, but still noteworthy, I thought, Joe,
right.
Just how much he had to throw the ball. I know, I see what you kind of have here, but is there anything on the Pittsburgh side that you're looking to back at all? Are there any numbers that caught your attention here?
Anytime touchdown scored, Jaylen Warren, I think, is potentially live. Freiermuth, anytime touchdown in terms of, you know, red zone opportunities. I think that's where you look. You look tight end, right? I mean, it's shocking that they haven't involved Darnell Washington as much. I know they like to utilize him as a blocker. He could be potentially another option if he's healthy tonight. I don't like the wide receivers. I don't, because they were able to, Cleveland was able to shut down both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins last week in that offense. I got to believe it's the second and third options for Kenny Pickett, maybe even Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren in terms of the receiving game.
Yeah, I think Jaylen Warren last week was targeted at five times, which is as much as anybody was after Deontay Johnson left that game. Targeted, I think, only twice was Najee Harris. So Jaylen Warren is certainly going to be the guy in terms of catching the football there. Let's give people an in-game update, because we did just see points get put up on the board at Joe in this matchup here. It's an opening drive field goal for the Carolina Panthers. Fourth and five at the New Orleans 34. They took the field goal, a 52-yarder made, so no gimme. How do you feel about that decision as somebody that's backing Carolina in the football game?
I feel good. If you watch, I know you're on air, you didn't watch the first drive, but it was a lot of Adam Thielen. It was a lot of Miles Sanders. It was a lot of lateral plays to get that New Orleans defense running sideline to sideline. I expect a little bit later in this ballgame, Frank Reich to attack the middle, coming up with Bryce Young in that offense, whether it be the rushing attack and then look for Bryce Young to hit some seam routes to potentially DJ Chark and those wide receivers Mingo tonight.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I want to then, while we still have you here, though, Joe, if I can kind of bring back some of the Sunday items that caught the eye. And Bucks-Bears is really interesting because you have two choices. And I guess it could all be, but either you got to believe in Tampa a little bit or you have to be done with Chicago. And I'm a little bit of A, a little bit of B. I like Tampa more than most coming into the year. The Bears, I can't get behind the Bears. I can't imagine anybody still believes in the Chicago Bears. It's a game now where, you know, Chicago's going to start to creep in terms of odds for the worst record on the year. And the Bucs are starting to creep into a minus money price to make the postseason. What do you take away from that game?
Again, I think it's a little bit of both, like you said. Now, you know, Baker Mayfield has overexceeded expectations. He's a guy that he's a plug-and-play type of guy now, right? That's evident now in two seasons with L.A. and Tampa Bay. He's come in off the street last year and won ball games, and he's done the same thing with one offseason with Todd Bowles and that offensive staff. So at the end of the day, the problem that I have back in long-term Tampa Bay is, can they run the football effectively? I'm not so sure, and I'm not so sure Todd Bowles is the coach to lead this team potentially to a playoff or a wild card run. So that's why I would sell Tampa Bay right here. With Chicago, you know, we talked about it yesterday. Yes, they're playing terrible. Yes, Justin Fields is not playing consistent. He's erratic. But at the end of the day, part of that is Eberflus, and part of that is the offensive play calling. You cannot play. They open up the offense, Kev, after Chicago's and Justin Fields are down by double digits. How about you start a game, forget the run, be more aggressive on first and second down, try to catch a lead, and then play with that type of situation with your quarterback. Don't wait until you're down two scores to open up the passing game. And I'm not talking bubble screens. I'm talking about, how about throwing the ball deep to open up the rushing attack? That is something that they don't even think about with this offense now.
Yeah, I do think a lot of times teams wait too often to kind of get into what could be their maybe most dangerous approach. I get that. But like Justin Fields throws for 200 yards and it's like, ooh, let's celebrate. It's just, it's not good. The whole thing's bad.
No.
The whole thing is bad in Chicago.
Let me ask you this.
Here's,
Let me ask you this, okay. Just one question. What wide receiver, and I know DJ Moore, can DJ Moore be a number one on any team? That's legitimate.
I agree with you in that.
LA Chargers, Cincinnati Bengals, Kansas City. I mean, well, Kansas City can, because all they do is take players off the street and just make them, elite. But,
okay. Can I, here's what I don't understand, Joe, is, you know what happened to Markel Fultz with the Sixers? Unreal prospect, can't miss, gets to Philly. I don't know what happened. They broke a shot. He can't shoot.
Right.
Justin Fields is not supposed to be the greatest running quarterback we've ever seen, and you live with an inaccurate. He was an unreal passer at Ohio State. He's broken. I don't know what happened. Because, I know you like those Texans receivers more than most. C.J. Stroud is thrown to those guys, goes for 384 in week two.
Yeah, but wait a second. The difference between C.J. Stroud and the difference of Justin Fields is, I'll tell you what the difference is. Justin Fields played a majority of his snaps in the shotgun. If you want to see what Justin Fields is, put him in the shotgun for 90% of the plays. Don't put him under center and expect Justin Fields to be this elite quarterback. You see, it's about fit. And if you're going to talk about the strengths of Justin Fields, forget putting him under center and trying to run the football with Khalil Herbert and that running back room. Put him in the shotgun for 90% of the plays. Put five wide out there. Forget the tight end. And let's see what we have in terms of Justin Fields. The difference with Stroud is they built an offense around his strengths and attributes as opposed to forcing the square peg into the round hole. Let's be honest. He's playing the exact same offense, Stroud is, that he played at Ohio State.
You're not wrong. Look, here's the thing, though, Joe, too, because I know I'm coming down on Fields. I love Justin Fields coming out of college. I thought he should have gone second overall to the Jets. I still can't believe he didn't. If he would have landed in San Francisco, I'd be betting him for MVP. If he landed in San Francisco, he would enter this year as the favorite to win the MVP award, quite frankly, right, with Kyle Shanahan. So there's angles of it I get. Let me bring up something, though, you absolutely nailed. And you said it was going to happen if they lost. I don't want to hear about how bad Russell Wilson is. The numbers look great. You don't lose 21-3 and the coach skates. Sean Payton might be one and done in Denver.
I'm telling you, he attached himself to the wrong entity. Half those players last year hated Russell Wilson. They gave up at the end of the season because they felt he gave up on them and wasn't a team player. And all Sean Payton did in the offseason was kiss Russell Wilson's ass, and that was it. And that's the bottom line. Now you have to account for 52 players that played their tail off last year, and where are they right now? If this team goes 0-6, you think Russell Wilson's going to be in Denver next year?
I don't know how they'll get rid of him, but I'm sure we can find a landing spot. Lisi, we'll do it again this week, my man.
Absolutely. Love the show.
My boy. All right. Lisi will shop back in, I don't know, Tuesday, Thursday, maybe every single day if we have to. The In-Game Live crew is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members, and that could be you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cashback on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's RAKUTEN. Your cashback really adds up.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. June is Men's Mental Health Month, and every year, 6 million men suffer from depression. If you're feeling overwhelmed, the strongest thing you can do is ask for help. And BetterHelp makes it easy. Take a short online quiz and connect from home with a qualified therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com.
At your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions live right here on a Monday night. I'm Kevin Walsh, and we've got 20 minutes until the in-game live crew takes over. But I decided to spoil you and bring them in a little early here. It's Dave Sharapan, and it's Joe Ranieri. And let's put them to the test right away. We have an in-game live chance here because we've got a Monday Night Football game that's already started with the Panthers and the Saints. Joe, I'll go to you first. What did you think heading into this NFC South matchup?
I thought under would have been a pretty good start to this, given what we've seen from these two defenses. And I wasn't at all impressed with New Orleans last week offensively against Tennessee there. And that game was at home. So now it's a divisional matchup on the road. And it certainly felt like it was an awful lot of people were just writing off Carolina like they had no chance in this game. And I think a lot of those people have never lost money betting on David Carr in his career, because then you would know with Derek and company that you don't often win when he's a favorite on the road when you think he's supposed to win. So I was all over the dog and the under in this one.
I thought that the Carolina stuff made a lot of sense. I didn't touch this total, Dave. I did not have a good feel for it. What'd you think, Consig?
Under. That was the first thought. Carolina live to win the game for sure. Can't lay points. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people that were on this were actually thinking about Saints money line. I don't know. But it feels like I know why you didn't like this total, K-Dub, because it has no juice. Mm-hmm. The game's not going to have any juice. There's going to be a lot of sit and wait. This is a low-scoring game. First half, low-scoring. Second half, maybe a little bit higher scoring. One turnover is going to decide it. It's just one of those games that we saw. Unlike yesterday, 14 games so far in the NFL this week, 12 overs, mm-hmm. two unders, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. nothing but juice for you in all these plays.
Yeah, but here's the problem. All right, Dave, I'm a changed man. And I still bet some overs yesterday, but I saw the Ranieri tweet. We lost in the same under. It should have been. Listen, I know the Raiders stink. You can't give up 38 points, Ranieri. We can't lose that by the hook. That can't happen. That was an ugly scene.
Yes, that was beyond disgusting. But, and you know, to our credit, we did figure 10 points were going to be the max for the Raiders anyway, because Garoppolo was going to turn back into a pumpkin like we knew he would. That last-minute unnecessary fourth quarter, 5 minutes left to go, touchdown, where they just rubbed it in. And you know what? You can thank the Jets for that, because they still had a little anger they had to get out of their system, the Bills, and they took it out on our under there. So you can't win them all, it was the right play, just the wrong result.
I think specifically, like 2 minutes before that, Josh Allen on a 3rd and 5 is like, what if I go 40 yards down the field to Gabe Davis? What if you don't, pal? What if you take it easy and headed into the showers and leave this game alone? Punt it on third down. It would have been a friendly move. I'll tell you the game that does have juice tonight. It's the second game here. It's this Browns-Steelers game here. I think everybody's selling off both of these offenses. The Browns, I like them coming to the year. They're not the 85 Bears. Also, if the Steelers team – nope. One thing that I'm on an island with is the Steelers' defense being overrated coming into this season. We saw it in week one, but the offense, it's T.J. Watt and a bunch of bodies, Dave. It's T.J. Watt and a bunch of bodies.
Hey. Oh, they got the best linebacking core that they've had in a while. Now, Cam Hayward being out is going to destroy them. In the middle, this has the makings of Chubb rushing yards over. A lot of people are on that. That number's climbing, but figured that might be one that you'd be on. I don't know if they're overrated yet, but if they don't pressure the quarterback, this is going to be a long season. They have to get sacks. As long as TJ's there, his numbers, half a sack minus 150 or 145 or something over a half of a sack. K-Dub, that one looks too easy. He's going to touch Watson tonight. so you at least get a push. Steelers defense is not overrated yet. I can't believe you just said that.
Ranieri, am I wrong?
I don't know. They gave up more than a touchdown to the 49ers, I'm just saying. So I don't know how great they could be. I will point out the fact that, and I think you're spot on here, Dave. I think the big problem is they are going to have their hands full tonight with Chubb and company, because the numbers with Hayward against the run in the lineup versus him not being in the lineup there in that front is night and day. So it's going to be a problem. But let's not forget, Cleveland's got some issues too. I mean, losing the big man there, Conklin, on their offensive line, not exactly great. But I've said it on all the shows, I'll keep saying it, maybe the greatest new face for the Cleveland Browns is their defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, and what he brings to the table. Way better than Joe Woods, who was about as conservative as you come, and he wasted a lot of that talent on that defensive side there for Cleveland. I don't think it's going to go to waste here, and if Pickett doesn't figure out how to get the ball out of his hands quicker, it's going to be a very, very long night, and we're going to be watching paint dry pretty much in two games for 4 hours.
So all of that is true, but was all of this Steelers hype supposed to be about their defense? Wasn't the offense supposed to be improved? I know week one was a disaster, but that's the area that has to be able to bounce back here. I'm not a massive Pickett believer. I do think that the wide receiver room has enough depth behind Deontay Johnson in his absence to be fine. Najee Harris is such an oddity to me, because at Alabama, like, he looked unreal. The problem with round one running backs is usually that they went in round one, not that they maybe aren't that good. And Najee sometimes is great, sometimes is his rush props 49.5. It's a tempting number here. But Dave, the Steelers offense tonight is the unit that has to prove a point here, that this team isn't going to snap the Mike Tomlin 500 or better streak.
100% right, which more often than not, you are, K-Dub. I don't know what they're doing with the play calling. They're a disaster when they get down. They get so one-dimensional. They abandon the run game. You saw it yesterday in the Jets game. You feel like when you don't trust the quarterback, you limit the play options. The playbook has to open up. They got to keep the game close. They got down against San Francisco, stopped running the ball. Najee gets no touches, and it gets bad, bad. So, I mean, look at these passing props. 205 is his passing yards tonight. You figure them to go. Pickens has to have a good night. Freiermuth is definitely his safety blanket, right? He throws a lot to him, middle of the field. Him to score a touchdown is live for sure. Okay, but you're right. It's on the offense to score points and to sustain drives, because what the problem was when Roethlisberger's last year and then Pickett's first year last year, they're on the field too long. This is a perfect opportunity. When you watch the game, you'll know. If it's a short three and outs, the Steelers defense get tired, and you can play Cleveland in the second half, and then I got to hear about it from all those Cleveland people. But listen, they're live. It's a coin flip game. If Watson throws a pick, the Steelers get a short field and can take Chubb out of the game, they can win. If they get down 10, 13 points, Cleveland pins their ears back, it's going to get ugly.
Are you betting aside, Joe, in this game tonight?
Hell yeah. We're that kind of degenerate. Is Freiermuth even playing, though? Stop me if you've heard this one. He got crushed in that first game, had a chest injury. There was some concern that he might not be able to go here tonight. But, and listen, as much as we're picking on the Steelers, let's be realistic. Jack Conklin being out on that offensive line for the Browns, they're going to miss him, especially going up against TJ Watt here tonight. So I don't know how either offense, quite honestly. Amari Cooper tripped, fell over himself, pulled his groin, apparently, at practice on Saturday. They're hoping he can go tonight. It's not like Deshaun Watson is thrown to some Hall of Fame wide receivers there either. So I think both offenses are going to struggle. I took the first half under, which is now probably less than 20, which is where it was. It's probably 19, 19 and a half right now. But much like the field goal fest we have now in the first quarter, 3-3 in this Carolina Saints game, it's going to be a carbon copy of what we're seeing here in this game. And I think Dave's right. It's going to come down to, all right, is it going to be a matter of Watt getting to Watson before those lunatics there? I mean, Za'Darius Smith now, and of course the other Myles Garrett on the other side. Do they get to Pickett? The defense is going to be responsible for the most scoring in this game, as crazy as that sounds here.
I still think that there's enough. The total's very low, right? Like there's enough there. The same thing with the Jets Cowboys game, right? Like, did the Jets do anything? No, the game went over. Now, I know we don't have a Dallas in this game here, but I just, if it's 17-17, I feel like we've got a chance, and I think those teams can get around that number. Here's my question on the side, Dave, because I haven't been able to really figure this out. Who does the book need tonight to win this football game?
Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of books need. This is just one of those. Listen, there's a lot of exposure rolling over into these games. They need both dogs tonight.
They need Carolina more than Pittsburgh. They need Carolina.
Yeah, no doubt. No question.
Did you tease these two, Ranieri? Or either, I should say?
I did. Yeah, Pittsburgh for sure I teased. But I teased it with the total down. So if I got to be on air, we might as well make it fun. So we'll tease Pittsburgh up to 8 and the total down to, I think it was 45 because it was 39, but now it's 38 and a half.
By the way, and this is just, I'm trying to follow along with this game here while we're on air. Right. The Panthers just got a holding penalty on a rushing play that went for no yards. Yes. Like usually a holding penalty brings back a decent sized run, not one that goes for 0 yards. No. So, stop talking so meanly about the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game because it might be a treat compared to what you're getting in Carolina, New Orleans. I'll kick it to you, Joe. Anything outside of the two NFL games you're going to keep your eye on tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably a lot, given the fact that both of these games are going to be absolutely brutal to watch and try to call because there is going to be nothing exciting in these games for the amount of punts that we're going to witness here in there. So I do want to keep an eye on the Mets and Marlins, right? That was another game that is some interest here tonight. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple on the diamond we're going to take a look at. But for the most part, I don't hate the two Monday night game option here within an hour of one another.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
There, Walsh, what about you?
Well, I'm upset because next week's is the Eagles game. So I'm going to be on air for an hour of the Eagles playing. I don't know.
That's great.
I'm not happy about that.
Come on, K-Dub.
Sharpen, listen to me. Listen to me.
That's terrible.
What? You show up in a Bucs jersey, you're out. You show up in a Bucs jersey, you're out. Actually, you know what? You're not out. Because the whole Vikings reverse jinx, whatever thing you did, worked
it
last
worked.
Week. So you keep pulling up. Simeon Rice, yes. Warren Sapp, I'll send you a couple. That's the Endgame Live crew. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here. It's Game Time Decisions. It's Kevin Walsh. This is final segment of the night. Doubleheader Monday Night Football. To give you an idea right now, the Panthers have the ball for 3rd and 6 on their own 29-yard line. The Saints are a 2.5-point favorite on the live line. This total dipping down to 35.5. Looks like an incomplete pass from Bryce Young's going to make this New Orleans football here. We're into the second quarter in that game. Jamal Williams getting some carries early. We're happy about that. Not worried about a Bryce Young in terms of the rushing number in time. Michael Thomas targeted 3 times already, which is solid. Adam Thielen, clearly a focal point here, targeted already 4 times in this football game, which I believe is 2 more than he was targeted last week. Certainly 2 more catches than he had last week. So they're trying to get Thielen a little bit more involved. It certainly makes sense. To remind you, the Major League Baseball board, I'm on an over in Reds Twins. That's 4-1 through 5 right now. And a Cards team total 3.5 against Milwaukee. That game just getting underway. In terms of this game tonight between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, Deshaun Watson over 27.5 passing attempts. He's gone over that number in 5 of 6. He's hit that in his last game out in a big win. Purdy hit that against Pittsburgh last week in a big win. But my favorite bet tonight in this football game, over 38.5. Numbers on the move a little bit. That's what I like to see. I disagree with Joe Ranieri. This game will have some juice here. This Steelers offense has to show up tonight, live off some of the promise that they were delivering to people heading into this season. I know how good the Cleveland defense is, but with Jim Schwartz taking over, new look, injured quarterback of Joe Burrow in week 1, I think that now the Steelers get a little bit of film and figure out some shots that they can hit against Cleveland, and I am not a believer in the Steelers' defense. Call me crazy. I think it's T.J. Watt and a bunch of guys right now. Chubb can have a big night, but I think Watson will surprise some people as well. Also did take the boost. Watson and Pickett each for a touchdown pass plus 100. That's Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh. We do it again tomorrow.